NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Tuesday, May 14. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today as we break down, wrap up after every day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right. So we've got a rare day of no games. So just a quick show today. Bit of news regarding some Lakers and Sixers coaches. And we do a big preview of the Western Conference Finals between the Portland Trailblazers and the Golden State Warriors with our special guest and resident Blazers fan, PDX Pete. That's a really good chat, so get around that. We've also then got a preview of the draft lottery tomorrow, and we rank all the potential outcomes 1 through 14 before looking at the odds and picking game 1 of Blazers Warriors. Un-bloody real. The cool bit is we also close out with a brand new Jingles HR as Joe Ingles, our resident HR manager, answers a question from Frank in LA. Nice one. All right, let's get to it. It's NBA Strayer episode 285. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Or you better watch out for the attack of the Josh Jackson trying to get into a VIP area and getting arrested. That's some good stuff. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia before we get to PDX Pete with the daily whip around. That's it. We've got a bit of news. The Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
But it's also now official that Frank Vogel is the new coach of your Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, California. Get excited, Lakers fans. You got the guy that no one else wanted. 54 and 110 in his last 2 years as a coach. Marv Albert voice.
Yes.
For sure, man. Anytime you can hire a coach who lost 110 games over the last 2 years and you've got LeBron James in his in the end of his prime, I mean, you just got to hire that guy. 54 and 110. Nothing says success like brutal losing. Unreal. So there you go. Lakers, Frank Vogel, Jason Kidd inevitably stabs him in the back and takes over before the All-Star break. Other losing news, Brett Brown, loser of Game 7 against the Toronto Raptors thanks to one of the most unlikely incredible shots ever in NBA history. Brett Brown is safe, according to the Philadelphia 76ers and ESPN. That's right. Woj tweeted out today, Brett Brown will return as the Sixers coach next season. Managing partner Josh Harris told ESPN. Apparently, Harris, Brown, and Philly GM Elton Brand met today to discuss the priorities, including draft and free agency, and apparently he's all good. Apparently, the key part of this entire story is that management was determined to end speculation on Brown's future, which is good because it also sort of suggests that Brown's job was never really in jeopardy and that management are kind of like, yep, all right, look, we'll give him a year where he actually has his team from day one, as opposed to trading for Jimmy Butler mid-season and then also trading for Tobias Harris and then going, all right, make chicken salad out of chicken shit, motherfucker. And Brett Brown's like, ah, man. But that's good. At least he gets a year or at least half a year before they shit can him. Nice one. Brett Brown safe in Philly. What else? The Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. Cleveland. Cavaliers have hired a coach and it's Michigan's John Beilein. Unreal. Good job, Cleveland. I mean, he's agreed to a 5-year deal to apparently become coach of the Cavaliers, according to ESPN as well. He beat out Orlando's Steve Hetzel, Denver's Jordy Fernandez, and Wes Unseld Jr., as well as David Vanterpool from Portland. So after 12 years at Michigan, a couple of Final Four appearances, John Beilein, after last year saying, nah, I'm going to stay with Michigan forever. I love this shit. 1 year later goes, I'm going to go to Cleveland. Thanks, kids. Thanks for committing to Michigan for next year, but now I'm going to go coach, like, Colin Sexton and Dele. There you go. Well, he's basically already got a coach on the floor with Dele, doesn't he? Anya. And as mentioned, Final piece of news for today. Phoenix Suns forward Josh Jackson was arrested at the Rolling Loud Music Festival in Miami Gardens after trying to enter the VIP area many times, apparently, without a proper pass. The cops handcuffed him and he ran away. How fast are you, Josh Jackson? He's charged with escaping and resisting arrest. I absolutely love that Josh Jackson had to convince people to get him in the VIP area and he couldn't and got arrested. Just imagine that scene. Josh Jackson, he's like, hey, man, let me in. They're like, nah. He's like, no, I'm in the NBA. They're like, no, you're not. I don't know you. Nah, son, fuck off. He's like, nah, I'm Josh Jackson. Nah, I don't. Who's that? So I was the number four pick. I played for the Phoenix Suns. And everyone's like, yeah, that anyone could play for the Phoenix Suns, Josh. Fuck off, mate. You're not coming in. Not tonight. No, not tonight. You're not coming in. Oh, fuck off. Yeah, see ya. There you go. Josh Jackson arrested. Couldn't sneak into a VIP area. Mate, the amount of times I did that, it's pretty easy. Just look like you belong, Josh Jackson, and then don't hang around and try to enter the VIP area many times without the pass. Some injury news. Kevin Durant has been ruled out for game one of the Western Conference Finals versus the Trailblazers with his calf strain. So there you go. KD, no game one. Pretty tough, I guess. Sure. Nice one. But there you go. So we have the Eastern Conference Finals kicking off on Thursday, Australia time. So tomorrow we have the NBA Draft Lottery and the opening game of the Western Conference Finals between the Portland Trailblazers and Golden State Warriors. So who better to bring in than our resident Blazers fan, PDX Pete, to preview the Western Conference Finals between the Blazers and the Warriors. So let's go do that right now, right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, as promised, we are here and we are joined by the one, the only. He's up there in Oregon, United States of America. I hear they've got legalized weed up there. It's PDX Pete. Pete, what's going on?
Mate, how are you?
Chilling, not illing. A little bit dusty from a bit of a session last night, but, I'm powering through. You know, it's one of these days where we've got no basketball, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to get on the terps. I don't have to wake up early and watch a million fucking things and then record a show. So feeling pretty good. But how are you feeling? Your team is in the Western Conference Finals, and this is what we're here to preview. We're going to preview Golden State and Portland with our very own PDX Pete. So
I'm feeling fucking dusty as shit, dude. I've had way too many beers. I smoked way too much weed, fucking freaking out that we're going to lose that game. But yeah, feeling good now.
So the last, 15 minutes of that Portland-Denver game 7, were you just shitting your pants the entire time?
Oh, absolutely. Every second of it. There was a few things that happened. Like Zach Collins playing with 5 fouls. I was like, why is he still out there? You know, this is just asking for trouble. Fucking Rodney Hood goes out. I was shitting my pants with that too. But yeah, CJ just, he was cooking, man. And when he's got that look in his eye, no one's going to stop him. So
what was there a moment where you're like, I think we've actually got this or not?
It was when Evan Turner came in. Hey, shout out to Evan Turner.
Yeah, we may have been shitting on Evan Turner a lot back and forth as well.
Listen, I'll publicly apologize to Evan Turner for all the really mean things that I've said to him. I'm sorry, babe. Come back to me. You're good. He had a great game. He really stabilized the ship, considering he couldn't fucking score a bucket in the first round, the first couple of games of this series, and he's just come out and nailed 8 free throws and really kind of iced the game for him. It was amazing, and I'm really glad that we pay him $17 million a year.
Nice. So what's the vibe up there with all the Portland fans and everything after actually making the Western Conference Finals after years and years and years of jailblazers, and then as I mentioned yesterday's show, the Greg Oden, Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge era, and now we've got the Dame and CJ era, and they've actually made it to the Western Conference Finals, which is nuts.
Yeah, it's really exciting, dude. It's it's a great place to be right now. I can tell you, like, you could see in the photos that came out of, like, Paul Allen's sister, the new owner, her in the locker room after the game. You see Dame and CJ just wide-eyed and just can't believe what they've just done. You know, like, it's everyone's just excited. And, you know, people were driving around here like we won the championship, beeping, hanging out of cars and shit. Probably a bit early, but, you know, in the end, great game, great series. We move on to the next one. I'm really excited to take on Golden State.
Yeah, it's maybe a little bit premature to be like beeping and hanging out of cars, considering that the last two playoffs that you were in, like, you got swept. So,
dude,
it could be one of those ones where we go, oh shit, the Warriors just absolutely beat the bejesus out of the Blazers, and you know, yeah, but at least you made it. You know, Western Conference Finals. You can hang a hat on that.
Yeah, to be honest, it's America. There's not too much to celebrate at the moment. So when something good happens, you really have to take it, you know, whole hog. So
I feel it. All right, let's do this preview then. So with the way we preview everything on NBA Australia, we all know this. We do one big question for each of the teams. We talk about some key blokes and then a matchup or a bunch of matchups to keep an eye on. Because it's the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference Finals, we're just going to do a bunch of matchups. And then because we've got PDX Pete on, we're going to do a quick round of as well to do with this series, which would be pretty good. So let's do the damn thing. We kick off tomorrow, Australia time, with Portland going to Golden State. Now, one big question each, PDX Pete, for Portland. Let's do it. You ready?
I'm fucking pumped.
All right. Can this backcourt outplay and deliver against a much better one than they just faced in Denver? Can they do it, do you reckon? Can they actually outplay and can they deliver against Golden State? Dame and CJ.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Obviously, I'm not one-sided enough to think that they're just going to absolutely roll over Steph and Clay. Like, that'd be stupid of me to say, but, you know, I say stupid things all the time. But I would say, you know, Dame always plays well in Oakland. He always has a ton of fans come out. It's his hometown. And then, you know, the way CJ's been playing in the last couple of games in the, you know, over both rounds, you saw Dame looked really gassed in the last like three or four games of this Denver series. But CJ's just picked it up for him. So, you know, anything can happen really in the end when it comes to the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, I think they can give it a red hot crack. Whether they can, you know, absolutely dominate Golden State every night, I'd be a fool to say that they could. I don't think they can, but, you know, they definitely can, you know, get hot on any given night and go crazy. So, yeah, I'm super excited to see what they can do, and hopefully we can, you know, contain Steph. We can keep Clay kind of away from the 3-point line, however you do that. And yeah, just try and force him to go inside, because twos are worth less than threes. So
true that. So Dame dropped 40 on them on December 29. CJ had a much rougher time playing Golden State this year, where didn't shoot great. Shot basically on average like 38% in their four games. And that sort of like, you know, stands to reason, doesn't it? Because you're like, CJ, he's substantially smaller than both Klay Thompson and Iguodala. Whoever they're going to throw at him, right? So you're like,
yeah,
get that. It makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure if they can outplay, but I'm vaguely confident that they're good enough to at least deliver. The tough part is going to be, you know, the efficiency, because really feel pretty dubious about the rest of Portland. And if everything is sort of on the back of Dame and CJ, then it's going to be hard for them to, you know, keep their heads above water and actually deliver consistently and efficiently, I feel. But I think you're kind of right. I think there's a sliver that they can be pretty bloody good. And
yeah,
we know that they're good enough to at least deliver. I'm not entirely convinced they can outplay them. But that does lead us into the one big question for Golden State pretty nicely. That's almost the perfect C, some would say. Golden State, will they have enough firepower without Durant to bury Portland? Oh, that is a big question.
That is a huge question. I think, you know, if they come out hot, if they, you know, because the one thing that the Blazers have not been able to do in really any of the games, especially against Denver, was come out firing and really get off to a quick lead. We're always chasing. And, you know, if any team does, you know, come out hot and, you know, just end the game quickly, it is Golden State. You know, they'll hit
six, seven threes in the first quarter, and it's just, you're just chasing and hoping for the best for the rest of the game. So, you know, we really have to be smart, and we have to make sure that we are containing their scorers. But I mean, it's going to be tough. So, hopefully Durant's out for all four. You know, there's kind of conflicting reports out there that he might be back by game two, game three, game four. But, you know, hopefully we can kind of stave off his offense as much as we can, because, you know, once he comes back, we are pretty fucked.
That's the way to say it. I mean, so 2015 Golden State are just sort of back now, right? So we've gotten rid of Durant. He's gone. There's no Boogie. At least for the moment. So we're like, all right, cool. It's 2015 Golden State. And, you know, 2015 Golden State rolled over the top of fucking everybody. So I'm pretty confident they still clearly have enough firepower without Durant to bury Portland. And it's a really good point that you bring up. As soon as they jump out, there's literally the only problem Golden State have once they're ahead is that they get so far ahead that they lose interest.
Yeah.
And that's your only sort of shot to give it back. You know, get back in the game, because we did see this happen a couple of times against the Clippers where they're like, yep, this game's done. See ya. We're already packed up. Pack her up, boys. We're going. We're going to go to the next game. And then the Clippers are like, motherfucker, we're still here. What's going on? And Portland do have much more firepower than the Clippers. So if you can sort of keep this idea of like that sort of game plan of like, we could always get hot as well. We can go on some big runs and, you know, slap Golden State upside their head, that you might have a bit of a shot. But I still feel like Golden State's firepower is pretty bloody good. And especially if they're going up against a backcourt like Portland's, where it's Dame and CJ, where it's not exactly the most defensively intimidating backcourt, you know?
For sure. I absolutely agree with you. I think up front, you know, starting five-wise, like we can't really match up with them. But yeah, no, I think there's a sneaky case for Portland's bench. I think they have enough firepower that if they can get hot, you know, they could definitely run all over Golden State's bench. I just don't think Golden State's bench has been that impressive. I think it's definitely their Achilles heel. And, you know, we're not known for our defense. Our defense is pretty horrible. But when we have everything clicking, you know, it's hard to stop us. So I'm really hoping that, you know, Zach Collins can come out and just kind of run rings around Bogut. You know, we can make sure that we dominate that kind of area. And if our bench can keep us in the game, if, you know, our Lord and Savior Evan Turner can, you know, really run the offense and get it going, I think there's a chance for us there to keep it close. And then, yeah, you just got to hope that Dame's going to be hitting 40-foot shots for the win.
Nice. All right, well, that leads us into key blokes then, I guess. So for Portland, I've got Mo and Chief, because I think we've pointed this out fairly regularly with Portland. It's like, in wins, Mo Harkless and Chief Aminu rock up. And when they're good, Portland tend to win. Not always, and they have won without them playing very well. But it seems like those two dudes are pretty important, especially in a series like this where you need one of them, probably Chief, to really check Draymond. And you need Mo to sort of just go out there and go, can you try to stop Clay? Like, that's how it's going to end up going, right? So I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that sort of Mo and Chief being pretty key for Portland? If, you know, Dame and CJ, we sort of get the idea that they tend to just rock up and are pretty bloody good. But Mo and Chief, when they're good, Portland are good. So it seems like they're pretty key, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the we've seen definitely that, you know, we rely on Mo and Chief for sure on the defensive end, having, you know, 2-6-9 guys that can switch almost everything, one through five, like it's great. But yeah, no, what they do on the defensive end, they absolutely give up on the offensive end, and we really need to get a little bit more kind of anything we can get from them on the offensive end. You saw Aminu in game seven, they just benched him in the second half because he just was not bringing anything on the offensive end, and that really, really hurts us. So I'm really hoping they can just put that series out of their mind and get back to what they really do well, and just rebound the shit out of the ball and just use their length to just kind of annoy the Golden State guys on defense and stay in front of them. And then hopefully, yeah, they can give us a shot.
So the key blokes on the other side, I've got Iguodala, because he was amazing against Houston, but I don't really trust that sort of game in, game out where he's like just suddenly like, oh yeah, actually what I'm going to do for all the playoffs is average 15 points a game. You're like, what? Since fucking when, Iggy? But the other Draymond. So against Portland so far this season, he's gone and shot 12 of 28. He had 15, 11, and 7, 3, 9, and 6, and 9, 5, and 7 in the three games that he played. Does Draymond scare you at all as a Portland fan?
Honestly, yeah, a little bit. Like we saw this season that Draymond just didn't give a fuck until the playoffs started. Like he just really wasn't putting that much effort in. And then he, you know, lost all that weight and suddenly he's coming in healthy and fresh. And he's been great this playoffs. So yeah, he definitely scares me. Like him at the top of the key, at that top 3-point line, just watching guys cut and just throwing those great passes that he does. Like if we can't get up in his face and really kind of get a hand in his face, then we're kind of screwed on that end. And then who's the other guy?
Iggy's basically found money for Golden State, right? He's like your version of Mo Harkless or Chief Aminu, where it's like, oh yeah, if he does stuff, sweet, but we're not going to bank on it the entire time. He's the sort of dude where the over-under points per game is like probably sits around 8 or 9, and when he scores over 12, they tend to win, and when it goes under, they might not win. So he's like a bit of a weird bellwether, I guess, in that regard. But he's just sort of also, you know, you got to take the Iggy when you think about Golden State, because you're like, all right, cool, so what's their the lineup of death? Sweet. Well, you think about that for a second, and you go, well, Iguodala's a big part of it, and there's a reason. His defense is crazy. They can throw him onto Dame or CJ whenever they really want to, you know, shut someone down. So I think the way he goes is very similar to the way Mo and Chief sort of become bellwethers for Portland as well. And Draymond, as long as he's not turning it over and just cracking the shits.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really curious to see how he goes in this series, because they're probably going to start a center without Durant out there. Draymond starts at the four. So you've probably got Chief on him for Portland. So it's going to be really, really cool to see how that works. And he's obviously key for Golden State. So matchups to keep an eye on. These are pretty straightforward, right? Dame versus Steph. That's a pretty key matchup, wouldn't you reckon?
Absolutely.
Can Dame outplay Steph 4 times out of 7? This is a fascinating question, isn't it? Because we're all like, oh shit, is Dame a first team All-NBA point guard this year? Is he above Steph? I voted yes. I had him my first team. So can he actually be better than Steph in this series? That's going to be fucking fascinating.
Yeah, he's you know Dame. He's a fighter. He's not going to give up on anything. He just bulldogs his way through every game. He hasn't looked great. I'll be the first to admit he hasn't looked great in the last couple of games, but when he's hot, he's unstoppable, you know, and we're not looking for his defense. We're just looking for his offense. And, you know, Steph Curry can have games where, you know, he, like in the Houston series, Steph was getting early fouls. He was getting forced to the bench early. And that kind of just ruined his rhythm, you know? And I think if we can kind of go that way, then yeah, I think, you know, Dame could kind of lead the team and have a better series than Steph. But yeah, if Steph Curry's, if he's cooking, then yeah, we're screwed. So we just got to hope and pray that, you know, Dame's just, again, put that kind of mindset out of his head, and just, it's a new series, it's a new start, and just, you know, keep rolling and get back to what he's best at, you know?
So the last two games against Golden State, Dame hit 6 threes in each of them, and it was a win and a loss. So you got to figure that Dame's got to hit at least 6 threes each game for them to have a bit of a chance, right? Like, it's pretty wild.
Over under 6?
Yeah, over under 6, yeah. I reckon. He outplayed Steph pretty easily in the December 29 game, and then in the one in February, it was a little bit tighter. Steph was pretty bloody good. He had 32 in that one, and Durant had 32, and Dame chucked in 29. So it's going to be fascinating to see how those two go hammer and tongs. And, I mean, for the other matchups, obviously, CJ versus Klay Thompson, that one hurts your heart, right? Like, Klay is just so much bigger than CJ, and if they don't want to play Klay on him, like, the same thing goes for Sean Livingston. He's massive. The same thing goes for Iguodala. He's massive. And this is where the lack of size in that Portland backcourt really starts hurting you, right? Like, having that sort of switchable 1-2 is kind of neat and cool when you're taking on Denver and all you're doing is playing Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, the dartsman. Now you're playing against Steph and then an absolute fucking boost in Klay Thompson, and it's a little bit tougher. So I feel like Klay versus CJ, the advantage is clearly with the Warriors there. Even though CJ's had the fucking game of his career last game, he's obviously always struggled. Well, he struggled all this season against Golden State. So I'd probably expect that to continue, even though he might try to play his ass off. But CJ has a lower floor, I think, than Dame in most of these games. And I think you'll see that happen writ large in the playoffs. And as mentioned, Draymond versus Aminu is going to be awesome. But then what about in the middle? We haven't really talked about the center matchups much because we've got Kanter with a separated left shoulder versus the sort of, three-headed monster of the Golden State centers at the moment, Looney, Bogut, and Jordan Bell. You'd figure Kanter is probably better than those three. Love you, Andy Bogut, but at the same time, like, you're not giving us that much offensively if you're, you know, a Warriors fan. I don't know. Do you reckon Kanter can outplay those dudes?
I don't know about outplay, but I think he definitely has, he should feel confident going into those matchups because, you know, there is he's quick. He loves to throw his body around. Yeah, he's got a separated left shoulder. And for fuck's sake, can we stop talking about his stupid Ramadan thing? I'm so fucking sick of hearing about it. Like you said on your pod the other day, like, Jesus Christ, we get it. It's just fucking played out news. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Pete, did you know that he can't eat during daylight hours or even drink water? I just need to make sure that you know.
What I thought was the most surprising thing was that Hakeem Olajuwon can text. How the fuck does he know how to text?
He's probably got an old flip phone. Like, he's fine. Yeah. He's probably had one since like 1995. It might even be the same one. We're talking about Kanter, so let's just move straight into a yeah, nah, because the first yeah, nah I've got for this series is, can you play Kanter? Whoa, yeah, nah.
Yeah, I think you can. I think there's definitely a role for him to play. He's been setting that high pick and roll that they've been playing. He's been great at that, sending amazing picks. I think that's kind of their bread and butter that they're going to keep running out, the Blazers, I mean. So, yeah, I think if you can pull out Bogut, or Looney or even Bell, get him as far away from the rim as possible. You're looking pretty until Durant gets back and becomes like the sneaky, quality defensive player that he is. But yeah, no, I think Ken is definitely going to have a big role. I don't want to lean on him too much because, sometimes he can be great and sometimes on defense he can be absolutely fucking horrible.
The worst player in the NBA.
Right.
Jesus. All right, so my point for Kanter is I think you can play him, but this is where the Nurkic injury really fucking kicks you in the nuts. Because if you've got Nurkic, you feel like you've got a really good puncher's chance when you've got Kanter coming off the bench. You feel really good about him against the backup bigs of Golden State. And, you might be able to get 5-10 minutes per game where you're like, oh, shit, hey, Enos the Penis, can you just go out there and dominate for us, like, off the bench and, like, take it at Jordan Bell? And he's like, sure, I'm Turkish. I'm going to smash this motherfucker like it's a delight. And as you start it, however, you're like, oh, Andy Bogut's just going to look at that left shoulder of Kanter and go, oh, yeah, what do you reckon? How's your shoulder? Bang. Yeah. How's your shoulder? Bang. How's your shoulder? Bang. And Kanter's a tough guy, but he's not that tough. And once he cops that a little bit on the offensive end, his defense is going to drop off and Looney might just run straight over the top of him a bunch of times. And yeah, so I think you can, but I don't think he's going to be as effective as probably he ought to be or could be considering he's injured. And it really fucking, it's a real kick in the pants that Nurkic snapped his leg in half.
Yeah.
God damn it. All right, moving on. Yeah, nah. Second one. Will Dame outplay Steph Curry? Yeah, nah.
Nah, I think this is kind of Steph's time, right? Like, this is exactly, when Durant went down, everyone was like, holy shit, we're back, like you said, back to 2015 Warriors, like, can they do it, blah, blah, blah. And then you saw what Steph did to Houston in game six where, he just took over. He's just, when he's feeling it, he's unstoppable. So, I love Dame. He's amazing. But, Steph just seems like he just wants it, more than anyone at the moment, So just let him. Well, I think if Golden State just let him run and let him go, then I think he's probably gonna kill us, unfortunately. So
yeah, I think there's a good point that you brought up right at the start. The Dame being from Oakland, I mean, he's gonna come out and just go fucking hammering tongs, And I feel like there'll be one or two games where Dame actually does play outplay Steph, but I just think for the entire stretch of the however long the series goes, I feel like Steph's just going to have that much more infrastructure around him where he's probably going to be in better positions to succeed. Whereas, you know, the Warriors can always just go, you know what, fuck it, let's just double Dame. Whereas the Warriors are going to be sitting there going, oh, you want to double Steph? Well, cool, here's Iguodala, Clay, Draymond, whoever, just pick your poison, fellas. Just go fucking nuts. And yeah, can't really see that working out great, you know. I mean, Dame being pretty rough against Denver, what do you really put that down to? Gary Harris, Torrey Craig?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Torrey Craig was just up in his face the entire time. Shouts to Torrey Craig, honestly. Like, he played amazing. And Gary Harris as well, they didn't give him any space at all. They were right up in his face and really kind of pressuring him. And we've seen in the past, you know, with the Pelican series last year, like they, as soon as someone gets up in their face, you know, he's definitely improved on splitting the double, but he's still, he doesn't like, you know, someone really up in his pocket, you know? So, I don't know though, like he's definitely a lot more confident this year than he was last year. And I think he's ready, man. Dame fucking, he just hates people talking shit about him and he loves coming out and proving people wrong. So that's when it comes to Dame Lillard, you know, anything can fucking happen. When he is feeling it, he's feeling good. He could go off for 50 and make Golden State look stupid. So we gotta hope and pray that someone pisses him off hard enough. And he goes and does that. So,
I love it, man. It was just weird watching him like against Denver, right? Where he's like, the shot just wasn't there. The threes weren't dropping. So, oh my God, just looking at his numbers. So from three, he goes 4 of 12, 1 of 7, 2 of 9, 2 of 7, 2 of 9. Then has the great game 6 where he goes 6 of 13 and then 2 of 9 in game 7 as well. That's just absolutely brutal. But I don't know. I feel like, yeah, there might be a slight chance where he outplays him a couple of games, but over the stretch of the series, I just feel like Steph might get him. So that does lead us, PDX Pete, to the final year now of this preview. Can your Portland Trailblazers win this Western Conference Finals? Yeah, nah.
Fuck yeah. Absolutely.
Make your case. Do it.
No, I just think, you know, Steph, the one thing that I'm kind of banking on with Steph is he's pretty brittle. He looks like he's got, like, his hands, his shot just doesn't look great right now. He just doesn't, I don't know. I'm hoping that he's got something wrong with his hands. Clay, I'm hoping that he's just constantly stoned the entire time. And I'm not that scared of Iggy or Draymond or kind of anyone else really on Golden State until Durant gets back. So we just got to hope that we can steal one early and make it a series and bring it back here. And, you know, the Rose Garden, I don't know if you've ever been to the Rose Garden in Portland, but it is one of the best atmospheres in the entire NBA. And it really is, it really does give us a bit of an edge. So I'm sneaky confident that we can actually give them a bit of a series. And, you know, if we can steal one down in Oakland and bring it back, I think we're every chance. But, you know, if, like I said before, if they get off to hot starts in games and we're just chasing, like, yeah, we can do that occasionally, come back and you know, make it a series, but it's going to be real tough if that's just kind of how we're, our game plan for every game. So, you know, we just got to play smart and play hard and really make sure that we match up with them correctly and make the adjustments, because, you know, Terry Stotts, that's one thing that I will say for him, is he is great at making adjustments mid-game and then mid-series as well. He'll always try something new if he thinks that he's getting beaten at something. So, you know, we can go, man. We can give him a fight. I don't know if we can beat him over 7 games, but I'm sure shit ready to watch it. You know, it's going to be a great series.
So there you go, Mad Dogs. There's PDX Pete's answer for you.
Take that, Carson Maddox on Twitter.
So look, what has to happen is pretty clearly, like, Dame and CJ have to kill it for 4 games. You have to win 4 games out of 7. So you got to have Dame and CJ come out, be absolutely fucking smoking hot, jump them from the start, never let up. Dame and CJ just kill it and, like, you know, combine for at least 70 per game at least each. And then, you know, pray that you can contain Steph and Clay in those four games, right? That's pretty much it. And like, go, all right, Draymond, Iguodala, please have at it and beat us. But the probability of that happening for four games just really, really, really strikes me as pretty tough, doesn't it? Like, so that's the sort of opening where they kill it four games. They outplay Steph and Clay four games just so profoundly that they win. I just can't see that happening, and I don't know. So I've got a bit of a nah, but you've got a yeah. So there you go. That's a bit of a preview for you. What do you reckon? You feeling good now?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you talked yourself into it?
Oh, yeah. We're going to kill him. Easy.
I dig it. Nice one. All right. Well, what are you going to be doing for game one tomorrow?
I don't know. I'll probably be out. I want to make sure that I catch it with a couple of guys so we can talk shit while and drink beers while watching the game. But I think, I'll be out and about in my Lilla jersey.
Nice one. Awesome. Well, there you go. That is the Golden State and Portland Trailblazers Western Conference Finals preview with PDX Pete. PDX Pete, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you very much. And can I just give a quick shout out to my mate Shane Brendan, who's doing the pregame and postgame TV show for the Blazers. He is fucking killing it every night. I know he's hating it because it's every second day, but yeah, no, he's doing a wonderful job. So shouts to Shane. He's doing awesome. And yeah, go fucking Blazers. Rip City, bitch.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. How good was that? Thanks, PDXP, for coming on and previewing Warriors Blazers with us. I forgot that I didn't do a prediction for the series, and I'm going to take Warriors in five. Yeah, it's a tough one. I still, look, I think Portland are very good. If they have Nurkic, they smash, but they don't. So, all right, let's do a quick Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? And today we've got Joe Ingles tweeting out, man, I love Melbourne. Heart-eyed emoji face. Nice. And then Damian McCollum's Stan account replied, listening to you speak, it sucks that you're so dead set on staying in Australia and not becoming a GM or coach or something. Your mind seems perfect for it. Jingler retweeted that and said, the day I retire is the day I am on a flight back to Australia. Ah, on you, Jingles. How bloody good is that? What an absolute legend. Love, Straya. All right, so let's have a look at the old draft lottery. Let's do some previews for Wednesday, shall we? Draft lottery preview and the game preview.
Lottery preview. Lottery preview. Draft lottery preview and game preview.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. I'm excited about the draft lottery.
Yeah, me too, mate. You better believe it. Love a bit of draft lottery. It's great. So just to break it all down, we did the tank race all year, and it ended up with New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix. That's right, Cleveland are in there.
Cleveland!
Along with Phoenix, all have a 14% chance of number one overall pick and a top three pick, a percentage chance of about 40.2%. So 40.2% chance that they land in the top three, 14% chance they end up with number one. For Chicago, those numbers are 12.5% for number one and 36.6% top three. Atlanta are next at 10.5% for number one, 31.6% for top three. Washington at 9%, and then New Orleans, Dallas, Memphis at 6%. Dallas have a 73.8% chance of conveying their pick to Atlanta. Remember, that goes to Atlanta if it's not top five. It's a tough one. Minnesota have a 3% chance at number one. Lakers with a 2% chance. Charlotte, Miami, and Philly. Thanks to Sacramento with 1% chance of going number one overall and 3.4% chance of going to... No, 2.6% chance of Boston getting a top three pick thanks to Sacramento. So there you go. So let's rank some best outcomes, shall we, out of all those teams. When the ping pong balls fly, where do you want to see it all end up? And who do you want to see out on top? At number one, give me the Atlanta Hawks. That's right. Ka-ka! Could you just imagine that? Zion Williamson, the number one pick with Trae Young. That would be wild. And also because of that idea, number two, How about we also send him to Dallas? Give me Dallas taking that number one pick so I can have Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis when he's not fighting Russians in Latvia, and Zion Williamson. Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. That would be tasty. The Chicago Bulls, I've got number three with Zachy Cakes, Levine, and Larry Markkanen and those sweet unis. Zion would be incredible there, so if they get number one, that'd be good. New Orleans, the Pelicans. That would be amazing if they replaced a generational talent like AD with Zion Williamson. And now with David Griffin, you might actually have a chance of building around him. Who knows? Philly would be an amazing one if they got the number one pick. If Sacramento's 1% wins, because bang, it goes to Philly. Him and Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. You suddenly wouldn't have to be like all jumping over yourselves to re-sign Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler and JJ Redick. You'd be like, hoo-hoo, shit just got toasty. The sixth best result would be Phoenix. That'd be the final piece next to Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Josh Arrest Me Jackson. Action Jackson? There you go. He'd also be a great, you know, Charles Barkley kind of esque, you know, figure in Phoenix Suns. And he looked pretty great in those uniforms in Phoenix, as long as Phoenix got, you know, some sweet throwbacks. Minnesota, the seventh, would be fun because him next to Karl Anthony Towns would be unreal. The rest of their team's a shit show, though. Miami, I reckon he'd be great in one of those Heat uniforms. So I've got him at Miami at number eight. Charlotte would be the ninth best landing spot for the number one pick as a result, because he's basically Larry Johnson, like 2.40 million is Zion, so that'd be pretty cool. 10, I've got Washington because Brad Beal, John Wall, adding Zion Williamson, the number one pick to that would be way more fun than pretty much anything else that Washington could possibly do. Memphis, that would be funny at 11, because you imagine how big Zion Williamson would get with all that Memphis barbecue. Holy moly. And at 12, I've got Cleveland because...
Cleveland!
I mean, go to hell, Cleveland. You've already had 87 number one picks. But it would also be funny. I mean, you've gone Anthony Bennett, Zion Williamson. Just power forward central, isn't it? 13th best result would be the Lakers because fuck the Lakers. And 14th, New York City Knickerbockers because fuck the New York City Knickerbockers as well. Knicks fans out there celebrating like they already got the number one pick. Mates, you've got a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. You have an 86% chance of not getting the number one pick, Knicks fans. So just settle the bloody hell down. But anyway, I'm excited for tomorrow. I love the lottery. I love the silly pageantry, the superstitions, the simple fact that everything hinges on a goddamn lottery, that all these teams' fortunes hangs on chance. It is absolutely unreal. I love that. All right, and the best part is we get to figure out who is sending whom to the draft to represent their team. So Atlanta are being represented by Jamie Gertz. She's part of the ownership group. You got Rich Gotham for the Celtics. He's the president of the team. You got James Borrego, the coach of the Hornets there for Charlotte. You've got the legend, Horace Grant, there for the Bulls. You've got Nick Gilbert, son of team owner Dan Gilbert for the Cavs once more. Wondering if he can bring some more luck. You got Cynthia Marshall. She's the CEO of the Dallas Mavericks. You got Kyle Kuzma for the Lakers. The Lakers. Elliot Perry, he's a minority owner and director of player support for the Grizz. Alonzo, out there for the Miami Heat. Alonzo Mourning. Love it. Start swinging if shit gets a bit awry. Gerson Rosas is the new presidente of the Minnesota T-Wolves. That'd be pretty cool for Gerson. Alvin Gentry, the coach of the Pelicans, wants to be a Pelican, not a Pelicant tomorrow. Patrick Ewing, absolute legend for the New York Knickerbockers, and last number one pick the Knicks had is representing the Knickerbockers. That's pretty great. Chris Heck, he's the president of the Sixers. He's going to be there. DeAndre Ayton, former number one pick, last year's number one pick, is going to be there for the Suns. And Raul Fernandez is the vice chairman of the Washington Wizards, and he will be there for the Wiz. Unreal. Love the lottery. Going to be losing my mind. Can't wait for that tomorrow. All right. So what else are we going to do? We're going to have a look at the game one for tomorrow. So let's do that and let's go check out some odds and have a look. I love this. Blazers going into Golden State and the Warriors are 7.5-point favorites for game one. That is pretty good. I think you got to take the Warriors. I think they come out and absolutely schmock them in game one. They've got a bunch more rest than the Blazers, especially in game one. I feel like if the Blazers take one in Golden State, it's game two. I feel like the Warriors win this one pretty handily. I reckon it's about a 12-point margin. So give me the -7.5 for the Warriors. And as I mentioned, Warriors in 5 is my tip for this series. But I'll tell you what, it'd be a little bit more fun if we got to see the Blazers push them to 7 or even bloody well win. Wouldn't that be wild? Cool. All right, so that's the Western Conference Finals looked at for Game 1 and previewed. We're going to do the Eastern Conference Finals preview tomorrow. Yes! Because that's it for today. Thanks to PDX Pete. That's a big old chat. We're going to have the Eastern Conference Finals preview for Milwaukee versus Toronto tomorrow. And we're also going to wrap up Game 1 of Blazers Warriors as well as the lottery. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait. All right, so join us then. It's going to be full of fun stuff. And in the meantime, make sure you're all over NBA Stereo on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever app you use on Android. Follow us on Spotify, all that good stuff. Nice. And also get around NBAStereo.com, would ya? And if you're going to do some shopping on Amazon, go to NBAStereo.com first. Smash the big button on the right-hand side. Then go do your shopping. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. That's unreal. So help us out, would ya? Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. The debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's unreal. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Gringer, and Green and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. That's it for today. Awesome day off. Thanks to PDX Pete for helping out with the preview of the Western Conference Finals. Hopefully we'll have a guest on tomorrow for the Eastern Conference Finals preview. It should be good. But either way, we're going to finish off today's show with Jingles HR as Joe Ingles answers a question from Frank in LA. It's awesome. All right, man. We'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, son!
Oh, g'day you Jingle Jokers. Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the official HR firm of NBA Australia, answering all your workplace related questions. Cause yep, when I'm not sinking threes, watching My Kitchen Rules, or taking the kids to watch the missus play netball, I'm the best bloody HR professional you'll ever find. Nobody knows HR like the Jingler. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Frank in LA. Hi Joe. I just got a new job, which is great and I'm excited. I was looking for one for all this year, but the company I now work for at the same time also hired a subordinate for me who is overqualified and actually used to do the job I'm now doing. Should I be worried about him coming for my job? Thanks, Frank in Los Angeles. Look, I'm going to be frank, Frank. That's dubious as, mate. Listen. I could try to spin you some yarn about how two heads are better than one or some such rubbish or whatever, but yeah, nah. Look, this bloke is definitely going to undermine you at every opportunity and try to take your job. You're rooted. So all I can say is keep your head on a swivel, and if you get any other job offers elsewhere, I'd say take them. But yeah, other than that, I reckon you're up shit creek, mate. So that's it. There you go, Frank. Best of luck. Because I reckon you're going to need it. Okay, so that's actually all we've got time for this week. I'll be back next week on NBA Australia with more Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Until then, get a dog up ya and get back to work.